When I come back to Los Angeles, if you are familiar with the movie Office Space, Milton will be our guest. He sure will. That'll be fun. I'll be back in a moment with more of your open line calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. If you live around the Washington, D.C. area, April 18th on a Saturday at the X Conference, I will be there. So come on by. Information on that on the coasttocoastam.com website, right there in the middle of the homepage where it says my schedule. And come on out for that. I'll be in San Diego in May. I'll have more information on that a little bit later on. I'll be at a conspiracy conference also up in the northern part of California in June, and some more events throughout the year. It's amazing how quickly this year's going already. Let's go to the phone. Sherrill in Walls, Mississippi on the wildcard line. Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say, George, that me and my husband, we have listened to you for 10 years, even when we lived in Canada.
Well, I haven't been on totally 10, so you had a little bit of Art Bell with you, right?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. Okay. But we've been listening to Coast, I'll say that.
Thank you.
I just want to say that, you know, me and my husband, we're Native American. We're registered Native American. Ah. And my husband is Dakota Sioux and Ojibwe. And he's part of that group with that went up north to Canada with Sitting Bull, his ancestor, his great-great-grandmother.
Okay.
And then I'm Shawnee, Delaware. My mom is from the Great Lakes. We're Algonquin together. And then my father was from Oklahoma. He was Cherokee. And I'm an active a Native American in our customs. And also, you know, I was given my name. My name is Gabawijiuk Nudinik Yatikwe, which means she comes in the wind woman, Ikwe meaning woman. And, you know, I was listening to Mr. Bean, and my husband's a musician too, and he just walked in the door, and he was listening on the way home. And about saying that, you know, in Maine, the rock, us Native Americans are ancestral Native Americans, probably opens some vortex. I'm a pipe-carrying woman, you know, and my grandmother, she was a great medicine woman. And, you know, we believe that some of those gifts are carried down, you know, generations. And Clyde's uncle is alive, and he's a great medicine man. I mean, people seek him out. He's very gifted pretty much all across Manitoba, you know.
Is he a hands-on healer, or does he just try to cure them with natural remedies?
No, he's a hands-on healer. He's of the Bear Clan, which is the medicine clan.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then even my story about me, my husband. You know, my grandmother used to tell me, you know, pray for the one for you, you know, get you money due, the great creator of all. And I have to stop right there because all of us, no matter what tribe we're pretty much from, you know, we believe in the one God, you know. Well, we honor a lot of, like, the animals and, you know, the moon and the earth.
Sure.
You know, and when I pray with my pipe, you know, I honor those, but I pray to Gichimanidu, you know, the great creator of all. I say, you know, my name, Omandaya, here I am, Gichimanidu, you know. And I don't, you know, I was listening to Mr. Bean, and I have to say, I think you know, a lot of the non-Native people don't even know our history, and this is our, you know, we're the indigenous people of this continent, believe, you know, especially Christians, you know. Christians believe that we practice, like, voodoo, magic, you know. And you know what I'm going to tell you? My grandmother, who was gifted, and I do have visions, and I do have dreams that come true. I dreamed of Obama. Many years ago, I saw a man on a platform with a turban on his head and thousands of people in the audience. And I didn't even know, I didn't understand this dream until Obama got elected, you know. But, and I don't even want to go into that dream. But, you know, I see things in my spirit. I've had dreams. I have visions. And my grandmother, oh, my gosh, I'm not even worthy to wear her moccasins. I mean, you know, she was really gifted, you know. I mean, she was a healer. Like,
what did you think of the Hopi prophecy? Have you looked at that?
You know, I've looked at it, you know, us being, you know, the North Indians and then the Western Indian, you know, my dad, you know. I listened to that. You know, I believe that we're all gifted. I believe that we all are hearing from God. You know, I'm going to use the word God so people know who we worship, you know. No matter what you say in what language, we're praying to the same God. I mean, Spanish people, and there's no Felipe's, Jose's, or anything like that in my family.
What kind of instrument, by the way, does your husband play? I'm curious.
He is actually, I have to say, since we're on national radio, he won the CAMA Award, which is Canadian Aboriginal Songwriters and Blues Players Award. He plays electric guitar. He plays guitar, slide guitar.
That's cool. That's cool.
And his name is Slide and Clyde Roulette. So if you get a chance, check his website. But I also want to jump back on.
I got to go. Got to go. I got 90 people calling. Okay, thanks. Let's go to the Lost It line. Matt in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Matt.
George, I have to say it's an honor to speak with you, sir.
Thanks for calling.
You and the Coast to Coast crew, you guys, you really are doing God's work, especially in these tough times.
Well, we give it our best try.
But, I just wanted to call in on the Lost line.
Who lost
things?
It?
Well, I've come close, and unfortunately I have had some friends that have completely lost it. Back last February, my family, we lost our father. So that's been tough on the family.
Oh, absolutely.
My girl left me in September.
Ugh, double whammy then, huh?
Oh, the hits keep coming, George. later that month, one of my oldest friends, he did lose it. He took his own life, unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh.
And another good friend of mine, she's like my little sister, she lost it.
Was this all economic related?
Not all economically. My friend that took his life, he'd had many issues. The major one being he had a chronic pain issue from an injury he had sustained on the job a few years back.
Just couldn't take it anymore, could he?
No. Sadly, he couldn't. But we all do miss him dearly. His memorial service was standing room only.
Give me the light at the end of the tunnel here for you, Matthew.
Well, after getting laid off New Year's Eve, I've decided to go back to school and hopefully find a new line of work. And
there
I'm
you
hoping
go.
In a couple of years that'll work out for me.
What's your passion?
Art, particularly photography.
And I don't know if you could do that as a living right away, but that's sure not a bad hobby to get some part-time work going.
Yeah, I got a little work with it on the side, but I'm trying to get more into the medical sciences field with school for
that's
its stability.
Okay, go for it.
Will do, George, will do.
See how high up the ladder you go on that. Maybe we'll be calling you Dr. Matt one day. Who knows? Or Nurse Matt. Doesn't matter. Just have some fun and enjoy what you're doing. East of the Rockies, Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Lynn. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing, George?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to know, I was listening to the radio a couple weeks ago at work, and I'm a security officer in a prison, and I had to turn the radio off in my truck because something came over my two-way, and when it wasn't for me, so when I popped the radio back on in the truck, you were talking to callers calling in, and you're talking to this guy, and you called him Doug, and I'm like, boy, that sounds like Doug Hutchison. And
that was him from
when
the Green Mile.
When are you going to have him on? Are you going to take calls when he's on? I'm
absolutely. He will. I will be back in Los Angeles in 3 weeks.
Okay.
And somewhere between that time span, he'll be on the program. Matter of fact, he just emailed Tom just a day or two ago, and he will. That was, you know, we get a lot of interesting calls,
uh-huh.
But you know, I am a tremendous fan of that movie, and
I think
the role he played was perfect.
And
where
it was just on TV again?
Yeah, everybody hated him, and in the role he played, and he knows that, and that's why it was so funny when he called in and goes, we got a dead man walking here.
Yeah, I laughed. It was really, that was
and,
great.
You know, for a while, Tom didn't know if that was the real him when he first called in. He says, no, it's me. I listen to the program all the time. And the more he talked with him, Tom realized this is him. Well, yeah, he'll be on anywhere between 3 and 6 weeks, somewhere in that window.
Oh, good, good. Because I hope
he'll
I'm going to talk to him because I've been following his career for about
a And
years.
You're in the East Coast, so he'll be on at 1 a.m. that first hour, and we will take phone calls.
All right. Thanks so much.
But I'll tell you what we're going to do for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Seeing that you're such a fan of
him. I am. I've been following this kid for about 10 years. I mean,
I'm going to put you on hold. Okay. Tom's going to get your phone number. We will call you, and you'll be one of the callers during open lines, okay? Because if you randomly try to call in that night, you may never get in for another 3 years. So let me put you on hold.
Well, thank you.
We'll get your phone number to Tom, and you'll have an opportunity to talk to Doug. Except, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. There you go. Tom, take her. She's east of the Rockies. Get her phone number. And Tom's back in L.A., so he will take care of you. Let's go to you, Scott, in California, west of the Rockies. Hi there, Scotty.
Well, hi, George. This is definitely a pleasure on my part. My choice was whether I'd want to talk to the President of the United States or George, and I figure that George and company would be the best choice.
I don't know about that, but we'll give it our best try.
I have had a real... setback in the last number of years, and it's one of these kind of things you just can't believe. I got out of the Marines in the 70s, and I applied for the post office, and they wouldn't hire me because I was a disabled vet, and I sued them, and I won, and sued them, and then they wouldn't do it again, and I sued him again, and I got him for reprisal, so they finally had to hire me. And I came back 16 years later in 1998, and so I worked for a couple of years, but you know, after that period of time, and I'm now 100% disabled vet. They asked if I want to take my early retirement. I said I would, and so I did, and I applied for my retirement, and it just took a long time, and I got a letter back from OPM telling me that, OPM telling me that they sent my records to the wrong place. One got sent one place, one got sent to the other place, and because of that, the time limit had gone too far. And I'm not going to get my 25-year retirement.
They blamed you for their mistake?
And in the letter, it actually said, and we want you to write us why this happened. Why did we send...
Why did we screw up?
Why did we do this? Yeah. I swear, and my friends were just... I've had friends have been kind of concerned about me. I have to have another knee replacement. And you know, I mean, I can make it sound like a real bad story, but... things you have said over the years, and this is what's really great, is that, you know, the Lord will provide, and you don't know how, and you don't know why, and this is the first time I've ever tried to call. I mean, just the first time, boom.
And you made it.
And I made it, so I was trying to figure out how to figure this out, you know, and I had an attorney, and they sent that letter back, and it turned out that I guess there was a time date that this postmaster said that I'd be taken off the rolls. Well, they didn't even notify me that I no longer was with the post office. So I didn't. So the clock's ticking.
Man, anything can go wrong.
I have this year and month to file. And it went by. Luckily, I kept receipts and whatnot. But an important thing is with this recent tragedy here today, there's a lot of things in life that go bad, and there's a lot of tragedy. And I've had 20 surgeries. I've had heart surgery, eye surgery. I've had every joint but two operated on. And I get around okay. But I still am in the top 90-some percent of the people in the world, you know, that, as far as the way we live. And then I got George and company to listen to every night. And you've said this many times about it's in the light. You know, you really got to look deep and find out what's important. Not for show, not because it sounds good, not because you're selfish. And sometimes it's hard not to know the difference. And there are a lot of outside influences who play on these kind of situations. And I have some very unusual dreams about telling me to do things and this and that. And I really, and they're very scary. But when I wake up, I make sure that I'll pray or whatever. I believe in God, and I just say I just say the regular Lord's Prayer and just watch after me and make sure that I don't go nuts or do something stupid.
Well, you sound like you're winning the battle, Scott.
Well, I'm talking to you. That's more than half. More people will have heard about this situation than if I was talking to the president, and well, I truly do believe that.
And my friend, you have a great weekend. All right.
I certainly will, and yeah. It's just a dream come true to talk to you.
Well, there you go. You call us anytime, and of course within our 30-day time period, of course. But thank you for serving as well, Scott. Appreciate that. Let's go to the Lost It line. Nope, nobody's on that. But we'll go to east of the Rockies. Susan, Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Susan.
Hey, it's Sue. How are you doing, George?
Good, Sue. Great. Got a couple minutes, so take it away.
I can do it quick. Hey, I'm going to give you a quick Lost It. My girlfriend went into a candy store, and she's from New York, and she thinks that anything over $3, because, she talks the New York talk, and there's a minute woman behind the counter. I can talk really fast because I'm from the North. And so she says to the woman, it's $7.95 for this pound of candy, and the candy dropped on the floor, and she's kicking mop balls all over the floor, and she's losing it, and I'm thinking, I don't want to be arrested. So I'm backing slowly out of the store saying, Pam, Pam, don't make the small woman scared. And so the small woman is packing up candy for her by the bags. She packed up 3 bags of candy and gave it to her because she got so scared at Pam. Pam didn't really lose it too bad, but she was kicking mop balls all over the floor. And I thought I'd leave you with a positive losing it story, which I like to leave you with, because you are a stardust of love and light. And I kind of got her out of there and said, okay, honey, let's get out of here. I'll get you candy somewhere else. She's like a grown-up Shirley Temple.
Oh, my God. Was she happy after that? Did you get her taken care of?
Oh, she said, could she could not have given me more? I said, oh, yeah, right.
She walks out with 3 bags and she wants more?
That's my little Shirley Temple 30-year-old friend.
There you go,
New York.
Susan. All right, you take care. You take care. But we got about a minute or so before the break, and I want to tell you what is in store for next week. Well, don't forget, Ian on Saturday. I will be here on Sunday. And then on Monday, Raylan Allen joins us as we talk about government ties of covert operations and the secret shadowy group. So I'm looking forward to that. Tuesday will be Behind the Secret Door. Wednesday, Deborah King joins us. Truth Heals. On Thursday, Major Ed Dames is back. Remote viewing. He claims that kill shot is right around the corner. So we're going to corner Major Dames on that one, and then we'll be back to open lines again on Friday. How quickly the week goes by. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Simply send it to me. I'll weed through it. We've got thousands a day, but I'll read it, and I'll even respond to as many as I can. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you're not a Streamlink member yet, you can just go to coasttocoastam.com and sign up for Streamlink. You'll love it. Podcasting and downloads and just plain old fun. Well, there are many different schools of thought when it comes to evolution. Some believe that divine providence likely started the universe, but then let things take their course rather than being involved in an ongoing matter. A couple of years ago, I spoke to Dr. David Darling as we discussed evolution and the origins of the universe. What's your definition of life, that kind of life?
Well, I'm really just talking about life as we know it, not extending much into speculation, just life based on carbon and organics and water and just the sort of thing that we know about. We know that there are creatures on Earth that could survive on Mars, so you don't really have to get too wild in your speculation. Of course, life could be have a different basis, but I think there could be life as we know it elsewhere in the solar system.
You wouldn't be surprised, though, would you, if we had landers that popped into the right spot and let's say witnessed or filmed or videotaped rather and sent back to us pictures that we would videotape back here, pictures of vegetation. You wouldn't be shocked with that, would you?
I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be quite surprised if it was on the surface in most cases. I'm expecting to find a lot of life beneath the surface. I don't know about vegetation. I've seen pictures, and I'm open-minded, you know. I'm open to be persuaded on that. But you've got to be careful, you know, in how you interpret pictures. I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd be mildly surprised at this stage.
Because I think you are, and we've talked about this before, you are a believer in life throughout the universe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I wrote the book Life Everywhere, the Maverick Science of Astrobiology, in which I argue very strongly that life is a kind of an imperative, and it's going to get going whenever it gets the chance to get going. So I expect it to be relatively common. I think the big issue is how often it becomes intelligent life, and I'm still pretty optimistic on that score, too.
Fascinating program to talk with you tonight about life and who the great creator might be on this in this vast universe, David. But let's talk about since the last time we talked. What have you been up to over the last several months?
Well, working on a couple of projects to do with extraterrestrial life. One is this new book I just mentioned, which we're just getting off the ground. Another is a science documentary, again, on alien life that's being put together here in the UK. It's a 90-minute special that I'm working as a consultant on, and hopefully that'll make its way across the pond and maybe it'll be showing PBS or something like that. So those are the two big projects I'm involved with presently, both to do with extraterrestrial life.
Good for you. Do you continue to try to get answers as to what is the universe? How was the universe formed? I mean, are you evolving as well?
That's what drives me on, you know, ever since I was a kid. And I think that's the thing. I've not stopped being a kid in terms of the questions that I ask. I still want to know what's the purpose of it, where did it come from, the big issues. And sometimes when you're a research scientist, you're focused on such a tiny little area that you lose sight of the big picture. And I like to retain that. That's why I write about it. I try to explain it to other people rather than research into one very focused little spot of science. So it's the big issues, the question of design and evolution, the question of our ultimate origins, where we're going, life and death, all those sort of things, I think, can be answered. I think they're difficult questions, but they are open to solution in the end if we keep working at them.
Are you a believer in parallel universes?
Well, I think there's a lot of mileage to be gained in that theory that our universe is not the only one, that there is a multiverse, and that there are a zillion universes out there, trillions and trillions of universes, each one a little bit different, some maybe very different from our own, that have evolved in different ways. So if you want to call those parallel universes, they're coexisting universes, yes, I think there's a lot to be said for that theory.
The universe that we exist in now, still with its complexity, that it's expanding, contracting, expanding. In terms of life in the universe, it appears to me that with just looking at Earth, how vast life is on this planet. I mean, there are millions of different kinds of plant life and animal life and insect life. I mean, each one unique by itself.
Yeah.
It would be a marvelous find if you could find just one of the millions of species of plants and animals and insects, humans, that we have on this planet. If you just found one cockroach crawling around on Mars, that would be a major story. Yet look at the life we have on this planet. Mm-hmm. It's got to be all over the place.
And we're finding more and more of it in the most unexpected places. Even last week, for example, there was the announcement of the discovery of microbes living 2 miles down or a mile and a half down in a gold mine in South Africa, actually living inside rock, totally independent of light. It runs off energy from radioactive uranium. that breaks down water. And this sounds like it's from Star Trek, you know? But everywhere we look, we are finding new types of life. It's just extraordinary, the diversity of it. And the more we look, the more we find. And the more we imagine the sort of places it might be, the more we are finding. We could find eventually there's life in all sorts of apparently impossible places, even here on Earth.
The microbes that are down that far, do they necessarily need to eat? Do they function that way?
They still need to eat in the sense that they have to have nutrients. It's just the question of how they derive their energy. Most of the life on Earth, all of the life on Earth that we've known so far, ultimately depends on light from the sun. Plants, obviously, directly through photosynthesis, and then other animals eat plants, and we eat plants and animals, so we're all dependent on the light from the sun. But these bugs that are, say, deep down in the ground are apparently totally independent of the surface. They are using energy that comes from radioactivity inside the Earth. So, yes, they still have metabolism. They still need energy. They still need to feed and do the things we do, but they do it in a totally different way.
What a remarkable discovery it would be if we could find this on other planets.
I think so, and I think it's happening. It's going to happen. In the next 10 to 15 years, I think it will happen, and it's just going to open up the whole subject of astrobiology. All sorts of interest and money is going to be poured into it, and then we're going to find more and more examples of it. We just need to find that first one example on Mars or Titan or wherever, and the field will be wide open.
The Mars rovers were not equipped to look for this kind of life. So on our next evolution of probes that, let's say, search for life, based on this new study, are they going to change the equipment and the testing procedures?
Well, inevitably they're going to take that into account. There's not actually going to be any direct looking for life for quite a while yet, oddly enough. I would have thought that within the next year or two, we'd be desperate to send probes up there looking for life. But we seem to be more interested in the rocks and searching for water and more cautious approach. I would like to see a repeat of Viking with all of the updated equipment and experiments that we could bring to bear on it to settle it once and for all, because Viking looks hugely important. And I just think the results have been ignored and sort of rubber stamped with no life for some reason or other. I don't know. It seems bizarre because those scientists were so keen to search for life and we found these positive signals, and yet it's just been assumed that it didn't find anything, when in fact it seems like it did.
When you look at the vastness of the universe and everything seems to fit like a puzzle,
doesn't it?
I don't understand, David, how it could be that way. I mean, everything has a purpose. Everything is there. It's in place. It's in order. There doesn't seem to be any mistakes.
It gives the appearance of design, doesn't it? You look around the universe and you see structure, you see organization, you see amazing complexity. One of the pictures that that Alexis put up on your website is to go with this talk is of a spiral galaxy. And if you look at that for a few minutes, just gaze at it, you have to wonder at it. Did this thing come about naturally? Was it planned? It just seems that the cosmos was put together according to some master plan. And one scientist, I think it was Freeman Dyson, he works at the Institute for Advanced Physics in Princeton, where Einstein used to work, he said it's almost as if the universe knew we were coming, as if everything's been one big preparation for us. And another astronomer, one of my favorites, Fred Hoyle, alas, he passed away a few years ago, but he said that the universe seems to him like a put-up job. But the appearance of design isn't necessarily the same thing as design. I think we just have to be a little careful on that. We have to look at other possibilities as well. We just talked about the multiverse, the fact that there could be many, many, many universes out there. And, of course, some of them might not have life in them. Others will have lots of life, but it may be very different from what we know. It's obviously only those universes that have intelligent life that can wonder why they seem to be so special. It's like winning the lottery. The person who wins the lottery thinks, gee, I must be special. How did I win it out of all these millions of people? But, of course, somebody has to win it. So every week you get this person who thinks they're special in some way. And our universe could be a little bit like that. It could be one of trillions, and we just happen to be here. And so we wonder how it all came about, why it seems so perfectly set up for life.
Yet with that same argument, even beyond the universe and what is it and how did it get here, it's us asking us the same question. What are we doing here? What's our purpose? Why are we here every day?
Exactly. And you have to ask that question. It is so vital that you do. There are some scientists who think that the universe is purposeless, that it really just happened and it doesn't have a purpose. And we're just creatures that need to find a purpose in things because it gives us a meaning in our lives. I just cannot go along with that point of view. For me, it's so hard to believe that the universe doesn't have a purpose because it makes our existence seem pointless, makes everything we do utterly without consequence. And I can't and won't accept that. I think there are all sorts of ways in which the universe could have a purpose. And I am personally convinced in my gut that it does, that there is a meaning to it.
If there was a meaning, then I assume you believe that the universe then was designed.
Well, that word is loaded, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and I don't want to put words in your mouth there, Dr. Darling.
Are we talking intelligent design with a capital I and a capital
D? By the way, that is your last name. I'm not calling you a darling. That is your last name to people just listening.
You're welcome to do either. That's fine. That's fine. It's a name you don't forget easily anyway. It depends what you mean by design. Do we mean intelligent design, which of course gets us into the whole business of creationism? Let me quote you some figures. They're very interesting figures that I came up with on the other day. It's a poll that was carried out by CBS in October of last year, questioning Americans on their beliefs. And it said it came up with the finding that 51% of Americans believe that God created humans in their present form. And that response doesn't change much if you say within the past 10,000 years. In other words, just over half of Americans believe in a more or less literal interpretation of the Bible in terms of design. Further, 30% believe that humans evolved, but that God was involved in the process and guided the process. So you've got a massive 81% there who believe that God was instrumental in bringing us about in some way. And only 15%, that's less than one in six, believe that humans evolved and that God wasn't involved. In other words, less than one in six Americans today accept the position of mainstream science on one of the most fundamental questions we can ask, which is where we came from. And I think that is absolutely staggering, that so many, such a huge majority, disagree with the mainstream position of science on that huge, huge issue. It's incredible.
And why do they disagree?
It's not a uniquely American phenomenon, but it's a very strongly American phenomenon. And I think it has to do something to do with the history of belief and Bible belief. And so many people look to the Bible for their guide, not just in spiritual matters, but for historical fact. They treat the Bible, Genesis, we're talking about here in particular, almost as a science textbook. Now, what you asked me, do I believe in design? Now, what I'm referring to here really is intelligent design, which means the involvement of basically a biblical God in bringing humans about. Now, I have to say that I believe in evolution. Okay, I believe humans.
Well, that doesn't take away from your other belief system,
It doesn't. But what it does matter is that I'm not talking about intelligent design in terms of a God who is actively involved on a day-to-day basis with tinkering with things, with manipulating things. I can accept design in terms of God as an overall creator and starter off of the universe, and perhaps some master plan on a cosmic level behind the whole thing. I cannot accept the intelligent design argument of a God who's daily involved in manipulating nature. So there is a big difference between those two views.
A God who would cast a flood down on people who might be evil. Don't believe in.
That I find difficult to accept because I don't interpret the Bible literally, word for word. I think Genesis, for example, we can get into this later, and of course it's raising a huge controversy, and maybe half your audience has already turned off. I don't know, but we've got to bring these things out. They're important issues.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I knew. I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.